This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. It seems no form of yoga draws more adoration and scrutiny than so-called HOT or Bikram yoga. The practice boasts a long list of celebrity practitioners. It's gaining in popularity, including here in Colorado. It certainly can get you sweating, but you might not be burning as many calories as you think. That's what Brian Tracy says. He's an exercise physiologist at Colorado State University, and he has just completed a study on Bikram yoga that we're going to talk about. Brian, thank you for being with us.
You're certainly welcome. Glad to be here.
And let's talk about the practice first. So every 90-minute session of Bikram involves a series of 26 poses. It's practiced at a temperature of 105 degrees at 40% humidity, so intense sweat-inducing heat. What is it about Bikram that caught your attention as a researcher?
Yeah, definitely. All those things are true about Bikram yoga. It's very challenging, physiologically demanding, and so on. One of the things that's and so that's really one of the reasons it's interesting to us is the demands that it puts on the body and the challenge, but also the fact that, despite the fact that there are, you know, 600 plus official Bikram studios in the world and thousands and thousands of people that do it, there's very little research done on it. And so that's one of the things that interests us a lot is just to perform some, you know, initial descriptive studies to find out what's happening with folks when they do Bikram yoga.
Well, its founder, Bikram Chowdhury, describes his hot yoga studios as torture chambers, his words.
Depends on your perspective, I suppose.
First-timers sometimes get nauseated, dizzy. What have you learned about who does this and what motivates them? I mean, in addition to studying the modality, you need to know about the people doing it.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So we know from decades and decades of research that's been done on heat acclimation, you know, acclimation to exercise in the heat, is that it takes a couple of weeks to get used to exercising in the heat.
Okay.
And so one would not expect to do yoga in that environment on the very first day and feel great. You know, you need to take it slow, listen to your body, and so on, like you should do with any exercise that you start. However, it's really clear that the human body acclimates to heat stress, and over time, several sessions perhaps, over time you get better at accommodating that stress.
I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is that it's one in a long line of exercise traditions that see some benefit to practicing it in great heat. And people flock to this, I don't know, because what? They think they're sweating out toxins? Or what are the beliefs that these folks hold?
Well, the idea with the heat, one of the ideas anyway, is that it allows you to be a little bit more flexible. Your ligaments, tendons, muscles, tissues, and so on are arguably a little bit warmer, and it allows you to be more flexible during the postures. And so that generally is a good thing if you are listening to your body and not pushing too far, especially in the beginning. But also there may be some quite interesting potential health effects, health benefits of regular exposure to safe levels of elevated body temperature. There's a small amount of literature that suggests that there are some health benefits, but there's not a lot. Mm. And so that's one of the other things that interests us is what are the benefits of regular, safe exposure to heat. As far as sweating out the toxins, I think the evidence that's available suggests that if you haven't been exposed to very many toxins, then you probably don't have many to sweat out. But there is some evidence that people who have been exposed to environmental toxins may lose some in their sweat.
Okay, so that's not just...
I don't know that means, you know, that's a therapy for them. But there is some evidence to suggest that.
So some practitioners of Bikram claim they burn 1,000 calories in a session, and your most recent study finds that's probably not true. So what did you find when it comes to how many calories people are actually burning?
Yeah, so we actually, this most recent work that we did, we measured three different main outcomes. One was heart rate. Another was core temperature, which was a very interesting thing. And then we also actually measured the metabolic rate with a portable metabolic system. You wear a mask and so on. And I think there's a picture on the website so people could see that if they wanted to.
Okay.
And so this was actually the very first time the metabolic rate had ever been measured in a systematic way during Bikram yoga. It has been measured in other forms of yoga. And what we found with the Bikram yoga is that the metabolic rate is substantially higher than had been published with other forms of yoga.
Okay.
There have been two or three studies that have been actually measured it. So it's substantially higher than that, but it's not as high as 1,000 calories. More like in the high 400s. Calories for men, and in the middle 300s calories on average for women.
Ah, half or less of what has been claimed by some. And why would it be higher for men? Is that just a question of muscle mass or something?
Yes, that's exactly right. Men are bigger. They have more exercising, lean body mass. So when you correct the caloric expenditure for lean body mass, the expenditure is exactly equal between the sexes.
You also measured heart rates at about 160 mm-hmm. beats per minute during Bikram yoga. Mm-hmm. Is that a healthy rate?
Yeah, so there's really two sort of parts to the Bikram series. One is called the standing series, which is arguably the most demanding part, where you're really quite physiologically challenged. And the heart rates were, in the high 150s on average, some a little bit higher, some a little bit lower. And then during the floor series, which is a little bit less physiologically demanding, it's demanding in other ways, but the heart rates are down around 120, high 120s, 130 or so.
And are those okay?
And they're higher because they're exercising in the heat.
Yeah.
And we know that, again, from much, much research that's been done on heat exposure.
They're
higher heart rates, but they're safe.
You've actually found, talking about the heat, that people develop a mild fever, as they practice Bikram.
Yeah. So one of the most interesting things, or at least I've found that people are quite interested in how we actually measure the temperature. There are ingestible electronic capsules that you actually swallow several hours before the testing.
Oh.
And that capsule is passed through your GI tract into your small intestine, and it actually contains the electronics necessary to measure the temperature. So we're getting a pretty good measurement of core temperature. And then that data is telemetered out to a recording unit that the research subject wear on their waist.
Gosh.
And so it's kind of interesting to think about, right? But so we record the core temperature every 10 seconds. And what we found was that during the standing series, which lasts about 45 minutes or so, the temperature slowly rises from just resting body temperature up to a temperature of about 100.3 degrees or so.
Yeah, mild fever.
And then it's not an unsafe body temperature. 102 or so is where you'd start getting concerned.
We're not going to get into a discussion about the recently dropped sex crimes investigation into the founder of Bikram. But I do want to note that your research was funded by Bikram's Yoga College of India and Pure Action, a nonprofit yoga advocacy group. In the last few seconds here, did either group have any control over the results of your study?
I have two collaborators. One works with the Bikram organization. The other works with Pure Action. And they both helped fund the study. But the ideas about what to study and the execution of everything was all basically in my hands, right? So we did the study. They funded it. And they didn't really have – they didn't – well, they didn't have any control over the outcome, what the findings were. I'd certainly like to think that any controversy about, you know, that sort of thing wouldn't affect the heart rates or the core temperature of the subjects doing our research. So we've maintained a very clear independence in our findings and so on.
Brian, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're certainly welcome, Ryan.
Brian Tracy is an associate professor in the Department of Health and Exercise Science at CSU. He directs the Neuromuscular Function Lab there as well. Tracy presented his findings about Bikram at the American College of Sports Medicine's national meeting in Orlando, Florida this spring. You're listening to Colorado Matters from CPR News.